We're holding on Lamed Vav Amud Beis by the Mishnah at the bottom there. So, we've been talking about different categories of mitzvahs. Mitzvahs that are obligatory on both men and women, and ones that are obligatory only on men. So now another breakdown of mitzvahs. Kol mitzvah she'tzvuyah ba'aretz, any mitzvah that depends on the land, which we'll explain in the Gemara what that means, ain in a heges ala ba'aretz, that it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Any mitzvah that does not depend on the land, it applies both in and out of Eretz Yisrael, except for two which depend on the land. The Gemara is going to end up telling us that depends on the land, on the face of it, basically, and we'll discuss in the Gemara the details, but on the face of it, it means whether it's something that has to do with the land, that has to do with the land or with its produce. So that most of them are not Nareg B'chutz La'aretz, that's the thing. Chutz min Orla v'Kelayim. With two exceptions, Orla and Kelayim. Which even though those are mitzvahs of Chutz La'aretz, even though those depend on, those have to do with the earth and its produce, nevertheless, those exist in Chutz La'aretz also. We'll learn later on, tomorrow and the next day, that there's a difference between them. Orla applies in Chutz La'aretz as halacha, and we'll learn over there, does that mean halacha Moshe Sinai, or does it mean halacha Midrabanan? And Kelayim is Medibre Sofrin, is Midrabanan, and which kind of Kelayim also is also a little bit complex that we'll get into. Tosfos, by the way, has a long discussion over here. What about there are some other mitzvahs of Chutz La'aretz that apparently apply outside of Eretz Yisrael also? What about challah? We know we take challah outside Eretz Yisrael too. So this is a question from the Yerushalmi. So Tosfos answers the difference is that the Mishnah is only listing things that apply to produce grown by goyim as well. Orla and Kelayim apply to produce grown by goyim as well, as we will learn when we talk about it on Lamed Ches, Lamed Tes. Challah does not. Then there's also, Tosfos goes on to discuss, that challah may only be d'rabbanan. It doesn't mention truma and ma'aser, because truma and ma'aser apply to a limited extent outside of Eretz Yisrael, in the countries nearby Eretz Yisrael, but not in the further away countries. And then, by the way, Tosfos gets into the very interesting question, okay, Rabbi Elazar says, going back to the Mishnah, that also another mitzvah that's fully ba'aretz and that applies outside Eretz Yisrael is not eating chadash. Whether the halacha is like him or like the chachamim, And whether also it applies to only grain grown by Jews or also grain grown by goyim is a tremendous machlokas. We'll see the roots of it already in Gemara. And the machlokas is, first of all, so we know we have a mitzvah of chadash. We have a mitzvah that any grain that did not take root in the ground before the omer was brought that year, you're not allowed to eat till the omer the following year. That it applies in Eretz Yisrael, that's a given, as we'll learn in the Gemara. In the Mishnah over here, Rabbi Eliezer is saying afa chadash. And first of all, we'll discuss in the Gemara, as he's saying, l'kola or l'chumra, but the Gemara is going to end up saying that he's going l'chumra, that he means to say not just ola and kalayim, but also chadash applies outside Eretz Yisrael. So first of all, there's the question, is the halacha like the chachamim, or is the halacha like him? Second of all, especially because we have, like Rabbi Eliezer, usually the halacha would not be like a yachid against the rabbin, but here you have reasons to think that maybe yes, including the fact that there's a Stam Mishnah in Orla, in Masechta Orla, that says like that chadash is also b'chol makom. Second of all, on top of that, you have the question, if you say the halacha is like him, does it apply only to grain grown by Jews or also by goyim? So all of this is a very wide-ranging machloek. Tosfos mentioned the issue of it over here, how, for example, Tosfos says, do we ever buy beer from goyim, let's say, which is made from barley, which is one of the grains that chadash applies to. So, okay, Tosfos says most barley is planted before the 16th of Nisan, so you don't have to worry about it. If there might be a miut in there, that's not, but we don't have to worry about it. Why it's not considered, why it's not Dabash Yesh Lamaturin is a whole other matter. The Alvedebe discusses it in a Kuntur Sacharin, in Shulchan Aruch. Other Rishonim discuss it. Anyway, there are other opinions that Chadash B'chlal does not apply to grain grown by goyim. This is the famous opinion, the Bach brings it, and the Taz supports it as well. This is the famous thing that the Baal Shem Tov one time asked for them to bring in beer that was grown, that was made from barley, that was grown, that had been planted after the 16th of Nisan, after the day of the Omer. And he explained that the halacha is like the Bach. He explained that in Shemayim they have tremendous regard for the Bach, and down here on earth the halacha is like him as well. And that is the source for the fact that when goyim grow it, right. That is the basis for that Lubavitcher Chassidim and many other branches of Chassidus don't have a problem with Chadash outside Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, obviously it applies, but outside nothing. So Gemara starts up. My tzluya, my shein tzluya. First of all, what do we have to define? What do we mean by mitzvah tzluya svaretz and mitzvah shein tzluya svaretz? Are you going to say that the word tluya means a mitzvah about which the Torah says when you come into Eretz Yisrael, for example, kisa v'ayu ala oretz, v'ayu ki v'yacha, etc., and v'sheina tluya the like says k'tib v'abiyah, and a mitzvah that's not tluya v'aretz is one where it does not use that expression? Can't be. Tefillin with petach hamor, k'tib v'hen biyah. What about the mitzvahs of tefillin and petach hamor? Those are in the parasha of v'ayu ki v'yacha, the parasha that we have in tefillin over there, the second parasha of tefillin that we say in Rabbeinu Tam in tefillin. It mentions that it's tefillin and petach hamor, dechtib ben biyah, so that section starts off v'ayu ki v'yacha. But no, you can ben v'aretz ben v'chokhlar, and those apply in Eretz Yisrael and outside Eretz Yisrael. Now, how do we know they apply outside Eretz Yisrael? So Rashi says, kind of a balabatish answer. Tefillin, look, we see all over the place in the Gemara, there were Amoraim from Bavel who wore tefillin, so obviously it must apply outside Eretz Yisrael. Well, that's the Gemara's going to get to that. But wait, right now we're talking in the because we would think if we define mitzvah tzluyos v'aretz as any mitzvah that the Torah says when you come into Eretz Yisrael, you should do such and such. Well, then it says over there in Parshas V'ayu Ki V'yacha. It mentions you have to wear tefillin. It mentions you have to be part of petach hamor. So maybe you're going to say those only apply in Eretz Yisrael, but you see, Doch, that they apply outside Eretz Yisrael. So tefillin, Rashi says, we see that from the fact that we see that there were many Amoraim in Bavel who wore tefillin. Tosfos says that's not really much of a proof. Maybe it's only midrabanan. So Tosfos explains differently. That Tosfos says that no, even at this stage in the discussion, we know that obviously mitzvah tzluyos v'aretz means what we usually think it means, mitzvahs that have to do with the soil or with its produce. What the Gemara is thinking is maybe what the Mishnah means is like this. Maybe it means any mitzvah that applies to the ground, to the soil, or to its produce, of course only applies in Eretz Yisrael, as well as any mitzvah that maybe doesn't apply to the soil, but it starts off with V'hoya Ki V'yacha, maybe that also. That's why the Gemara is asking about tefillin. There's other answers also how the Gemara knows for a fact that tefillin and petach hamor apply outside Eretz Yisrael. One interesting one is Rashi mentions on the pasuk in V'hoya Yom Shamaya, from Sifri. So what does it say over there? It says you're going to go into exile, avat mehera, and then v'santam esdvara ela alavasam al nashem. So Rashi says it means even when you're in Golus, keep on putting tefillin, keep on putting tzitzis, keep on doing all the mitzvahs, because that way you'll remember them when you come back to Eretz Yisrael. So we see there's no even outside Eretz Yisrael.
But that's what we're saying.
If it's outside Eretz Yisrael is managolus, there's no reason it wouldn't also in the time when the Jewish people are living in Eretz Yisrael. The chutzla doesn't get greater kedusha just because the Jewish people are in Golus there. So tefillin and petach hamor, just chutzla ben bia, it says on them the word bia, but nogin ben baris, ben b'chutzlaris, and they apply everywhere. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you're right. We have to reinterpret what the Mishnah says. Kol mitzvah she'chayves haguf. Any mitzvah that is an obligation on your body, meaning it's nothing to do with the ground, nothing to do with anything that grows from it. It's an obligation on you yourself to do. That neheges ben ba'aretz ben b'chutzlaretz. That applies in and out of Eretz Yisrael. Chayves karka, anything that has to do with the land. For example, Rashi gives a whole list: truma, meiser, chala, leket, shikhapeya, shmita, chodosh, orla, kalayim. All of those, basically, all the ones that are discussed in Mishnayos and Seder Zeroyim, and the Rambam and Sefer Zeroyim. All of those ain't in the Heges Elavaris. All those only apply only in Eretz Yisrael. Midor Daisa again. Midor Rabbanan. We'll talk about. Anonymously. Now, where do we know all this? Where do we know that there's a distinction between different types of mitzvahs? That some of them apply only in Eretz Yisrael, some of them apply outside Eretz Yisrael. To turn it up on them, we learn in a Braisa The pasuk starts off in Parashat Re'eh. The whole pasuk goes like this: Ela hachukim b'mishpatim asher tishmeru la'aseh. These are the chukim and the mishpatim that you should keep to do. In the land that Hashem, the God of your fathers, gave you to inherit, for all the days that you're living on the land. So, the Braisa starts darshaning like this. When it says Eloha Chukim, Eloha Medroshes, that means the droshes. This that we learn, that we learn out dinim with the Yud Gimel Midos. That's what it means by Chukim.
Achukim
in this case means I'm a drosha. It means the fact that we darshan, that we darshan a gzeir shava, etc. Vamishpatim elu hadinim. When the pasuk continues, the mishpatim, this means the dinim. So either it means the dinim that it clearly states in the Torah, or there's a few different possibilities that Mefarshim bring up over here, including maybe that mishpatim means maybe hamadirashis means the actual yud gimel midos, and hadinim means the result for them, the actual dinim that we learn out from them, whatever. Asher tishmerun zu mishnah, that you should keep refers to the mishnah, meaning learning Torah shavah peh, learning what the Torah says. Yeah, well, I mean, in other words, Shemaviyah de Maiser, Rashi says, that it brings you to action. You have to remember the distinction between Mishnah and Gemara, the real distinction between Mishnah and Gemara, Mishnah is supposed to be just the basic halachas, so that you can actually do them. Gemara, then, or Talmud, whatever, is the analysis of it. So the analysis, in the end, the Gemara, as we have it, includes a lot of dinim in it, but that wasn't its original purpose. Its original purpose was to analyze the dinim in the Mishnah and deduce where they come from and in what exact cases they apply. So the Mishnah itself was meant to be sort of like the Shulchan Aruch. You'll look in the Mishnah, you'll know the halacha, more or less. Not exactly, which is why, for example, the Gemara in Sota criticizes people who pass in halacha directly from the Mishnah, because you need the Gemara, but in principle, the Mishnah by itself is supposed to be maybe the Demaisa. La'asai zumaisa, and when it says to do, that means the actual actions of the mitzvahs. Now, when the pasuk continues, ba'aretz, when the pasuk continues that this takes place in the land, yachol kol ha-mitzvahs kolon lo yu noigim ela ba'aretz, you would think maybe that all mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. No, tamad lo'im ha-kol ha-yomim asher atem chayim ala adama. No, because the pasuk continues all the days that you're living on the earth. Interesting thing, by the way, when they started doing space travel in the late 60s, Rav Menachem Mendel Kasher, the author of Torah Shlema, put together a little booklet called Ha'odam Ala Yareach, what would be the dinim of a man on the moon in Halacha. And I think one of his arguments was, or maybe not his, but I think there were other Rabbanim of that time who argued based on this Gemara. Look, the Gemara is finding over here a justification in the pasuk that mitzvahs apply everywhere in the world, not just in Eretz Yisrael. But maybe it's taka only limited to Allah Dhamma. Maybe taka you'd be potter from mitzvahs in space.
I always wondered if Allah are allowed to go on the moon.
That's a different question. I mean, you could argue that if Rav Kasher's shitta is correct and you're not chayav in mitzvahs on the moon, maybe you're not allowed to go there because you'd be taking yourself away from the ability to do mitzvahs. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway. Lamaisa, I don't think the Velt holds like him. I mean, when Ilan Ramon, Zecharon Levracha, was up in space, he never even go to the moon, but whatever, when he was up in space, as far as I know, he kept mitzvahs there as best he could.
And he died.
Also true. Okay. Anyway. Okay, so it applies everywhere. Okay, e kol ha-yomim yachol niyu nirgin ben ba'aretz ben l'chutz la'aretz. Fine, but on the other hand, if it says kol ha-yomim, then it should mean that all mitzvahs apply equally both in Eretz Yisrael and in chutz la'aretz. Kamadam and ba'aretz. No, so we have miyut ba'aretz that applies only in Eretz Yisrael, and then we have a ribui that applies everywhere. Okay, ach ha-shir riba ha-kasav miyut. Okay, if you have, the pasuk is giving us a ribui that it applies everywhere, and a miyut that it only applies in Eretz Yisrael, so we don't know which one is it supposed to be.
What's the ribui is
as long as you're living on the earth, meaning anywhere on the globe. But ba'aretz means only ba'aretz asher Hashem elokecha noisen, etc. means only. It's not a klal of prophets. It's a ribui and a miyut. It's a ribui that it applies everywhere in the world, and a miyut that it applies only in Eretz Yisrael. So what are we going to do with that? The answer is, in that case, we have to use one of the yud gimel midos is the 12th one is davar alamin minyanim and davar alamin resefer. Davar alamin minyanim means that sometimes we learn what a pasuk means by looking at the context. So we have to figure out over here what's the context of this pasuk. Say olamad mimasha amar b'inyan. So you go out and learn from what it says further in that same topic. The next pasuk continues. Abed to abdin of kol mekomes asher avdu sham b'gomer, that you should get rid of all the places where the goyim worship their idols. Therefore, that's the inyan. That's the and therefore davar alam and minyane. Therefore, we can learn what the previous pasuk means, what the ribui and the miut means by referring to that. Namely, ma avodat
kachavim.
Well, ma avodat kachavim miyuchedes sheyichayves aguf. Now, avodat kachavim is what's its distinctive thing? It's a chayves aguf. It's a mitzvah that applies to you. It's not something that applies to the land of Eretz Yisrael. That is something that applies everywhere in the world. Wherever you are, you're also to worship avodah zarah. Therefore, the same thing applies to any chayves aguf. In other words, we will understand, therefore, by that context, that when the pasuk is saying "Hashatim kol ha'yong Hashatim chayim al adama," means any mitzvah that's similar to avodah zarah is something that applies kol ha'yong Hashatim chayim al adama. So, therefore, including tefillin, patach hamor, including all the mitzvahs that are chayves aguf, as opposed to chayves karka. Avodah Zarah is not a chayves karka. It doesn't apply only in Eretz Yisrael. Then that's limited only to Eretz Yisrael, with the exceptions that we said in the Mishnah.
If a goy makes a mountain into Avodah Zarah, it doesn't count.
It doesn't count because there's no tefisas yidei adam. We'll learn about it in Avodah Zarah in a couple of years, as Hashem. But there's no tefisas yidei adam. He didn't do anything to make it into an object of worship. It's natural. It's a naturally existing thing. Yeah. Actually, the Ramban, by the way, has a big question on what the Gemara is saying over here, because actually, the pasuk is not talking about not worshipping avodah zarah. The context, the word abed to abdon, is talking about the mitzvah to get rid of avodah zarah. And that, to a certain extent, only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Outside Eretz Yisrael, sure, if you have a chance to destroy avodah zarah, by all means, you do it. But you're not obligated to go and chase after it. You're not obligated to go and buy up all the getchkes that are available in order to smash them. Whereas in Eretz Yisrael, you're obligated to do everything you can to get rid of them. Therefore, that is a mitzvah that applies only in Eretz Yisrael. So what are we saying?
Right.
So therefore, the Ramban has a slightly different explanation. He says the Gemara is really referring to what it says in the Pesukim after that. Right after that, the Pasuk goes on to say, you have to destroy all the places where the Goyim sacrificed to their idols, all their idols and all the places where they sacrificed, that they used to build altars and then worship their idols all over the place. You are not allowed to do that. You're only allowed to bring korbanos in one central place in the Mishkan and later on in the Bais Hamikdash. That is a chayves aguf. That, this mitzvah of bamos, of not building places for worshipping, for bringing korbanos outside the Bais Hamikdash, that is a chayves aguf. That's something that applies everywhere in the world.
You have to destroy it.
Not the thing about destroying it. That, to a certain extent, applies only in Eretz Yisrael. That in Eretz Yisrael, you have to loot it, you have to chase after it and destroy it, and in Eretz Yisrael, and outside Eretz Yisrael, it's just if you happen to get a hold of it. But rather, the fact that bamos, the fact that you're not allowed to build a place to bring a korban any place else in the world, that applies anywhere in the world. That's a chayves aguf. That's what the Gemara means. That is a chayves aguf, and it applies everywhere in the world, and therefore, that's what the previous
question. The Ramban?
The Ramban says that explanation. The Ramban says that explanation.
Otherwise, we would say...
Because that's what he's asking. Because the mitzvah of destroying avodah zarah, to a certain extent, applies only in Eretz Yisrael. And here the Gemara is trying to prove that it's a mitzvah that applies everywhere in the world. The Mishnah continued, chutz mina or levakilayim, except for, we said, two mitzvahs of tluyos ba'aretz that do apply outside Eretz Yisrael, orla and kilayim. And then the Mishnah had said, Rabbi Eliezer oima afa chadosh. Rabbi Eliezer was also chadosh. So when we learned the Mishnah, we assumed that Rabbi Eliezer means Afa Chadosh, means besides Orla and Kalayim, he was a third one that applies outside Eretz Yisrael. But maybe not necessarily. Rabbi Eliezer l'kula polig or l'chumra polig? Is Rabbi Eliezer trying to argue with the Chachamim to be more lenient, to say that you are saying that Chadosh is also outside Eretz Yisrael and I'm saying it's Mutter? Or l'chumra polig? Or maybe he's arguing l'chumra, like the simple meaning of the Mishnah. L'chumra polig, and then v'hach kama, then what it would mean is like this. V'hach kama, tanakama. So the tanakama is saying like this. Everything, all mitzvahs of Tluyos Ba'aretz apply only in Eretz Yisrael, chutz mina orla mina kalayim dehilchus ha'gemirila, except for orla and kalayim, which are halachas. Again, what kind of halachas we'll talk about later, we'll talk about in the next couple of days, Gemara. Which afa gavdi ikla mei mechayves karkei, even though you could argue that orla and kalayim are land-bound mitzvahs, nevertheless they apply outside Eretz Yisrael too. Have a chadash, the artist ain't the chutzla artist loy, but chadash is different. That applies only in Eretz Yisrael, not in chutzla artist. No, that would be the chumim saying so far. We haven't gotten to it really, as yet.
Some mixes of
karka
apply only in Eretz Yisrael, and some don't.
So we have two exceptions, the Mishnah is saying, the Tanakhama is saying, Orla and Kalayim, yeah. Wait. But chadash would only apply in Eretz Yisrael, not in chutzla artist. My time of Moshav. My timer, Moshe of La'acha Yerushav Yeshiva Mashma, because when the Pesach introduces the mitzvah of Chodosh as follows. It starts off by saying, Kisavoyu al Eretz Kanaan, when you come to Eretz Kanaan, you bring the Korban HaOmer, you bring the Korban HaOmer from your first harvest, you bring certain Korbanos, so you bring a certain Korban along with it, you start counting Sfiras HaOmer, and then the Pesach continues that you're not allowed to eat Chodosh. V'lechem v'koli v'charm alo yisoyslo, at etzim yam nizem, ad abiechem es Korban HaOtechem, chukas elam d'ray seichem v'chol meshvei seichem. So the Torah mentions the Torah mentions the word Moshav that this applies. The thing is, this is what the Gemara is going to be discussing over here. When we say when the Pesach says about a certain mitzvah that applies b'chol Moshvei Seichem, what does it mean? Does it mean anywhere you live, which would mean even in Chutz Laaretz, or does it mean la'acha Yerusha b'yeshiva mashma? Maybe it means b'chol Moshvei Seichem that even in Eretz Yisrael it only applies after you've settled and inherited the land. Now, we know historically, when the Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael, it took them 7 years to conquer most of Eretz Yisrael. There were still chunks, but they didn't, but whatever. 7 years to conquer most of Eretz Yisrael. Another 7 years they spent dividing up the territory and assigning each shevet its portion and each family and so forth. Only after those 14 years does everybody know where their homestead is and where their farm is. So you could argue that b'chol Moshvei Seichem means that the mitzvah of Chodosh only applies after you're in Moshav, after you're in settlements of your own, as opposed to before that when who owns what plot of land is not certain yet. So the Chachamim then, we could say then that the Chachamim in our Mishnah, the Tanakhama in our Mishnah, is saying that Chodosh only applies in Eretz Yisrael. It says B'chol Moshvei Seichem. B'chol Moshvei Seichem doesn't mean it applies everywhere in the world, wherever you live. It means in Eretz Yisrael, it only applies once you've reached the stage of Moshe. La'acha Yerusha V'yeshiva Mashma. It means only after you've inherited Eretz Yisrael and settled it.
Where do we know that Moshe is only in Eretz Yisrael?
That's what we're arguing. We're going to see in a minute. The Gemara is going to bring us something about it. Wait. For also Rabbi Eliezer Lameimah, then what Rabbi Eliezer would be coming and saying, Af Chodosh Noig Ben Ba'oretz Ben B'Chutz La'aretz. No, Chodosh also applies whether in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz La'aretz. My timer, why? Because Moshe means B'chol Mokom Ha'ashatim Yoshvim. Because B'chol Moshvei Seichem means wherever you live, wherever in the world.
So if it means wherever you're in the world, so why do we
say that? Then we would say Rabbi Eliezer is saying, Af HaChodosh, that would be the Chumrah. That you Tanakhama, are saying B'chol Moshvei Seichem means it's only in Eretz Yisrael and only after Kibush V'Chiluk, only after those 14 years. I'm saying that no, B'chol Moshvei Seichem means it applies anywhere in the world. Or maybe you could say that not. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer is coming to make a lot against the Tanakhama. Namely, B'chokhakama Tanakhama. Namely, the Tanakhama is saying that this Chutzman Olam Akalayim Bechokhaz Agmila. We have a halachal Moshmi Sinai that Olam Akalayim apply outside of Israel. Halachal Moshmi Sinai, or whatever, again, as we'll discuss later. V'chol Shekin Chodosh, the Moshe of Kol Mokom Shatim Yeshim Mashma. How much more so, the Tanakhama did not even need to mention Chodosh, because obviously the word Moshe Seichem would have to mean anywhere in the world that you live. So therefore, the Tanakhama wouldn't be mentioning Ur L'Kilayim and Chodosh, because he would think it's so obvious that Chodosh applies everywhere that he wouldn't have had to list it. He wouldn't have considered, in other words, he wouldn't even consider it a mitzvah kluya ba'aretz. But even though it has to do with the soil and what grows from it, but it's not, since the Pasuk qualifies it and says it, that's b'chol Moshvei Seichem, then yeah. No, because then you have to say Ha'ishir to Ha'ishir. No, you would just say that he wouldn't think that it's considered even, that it's considered such a, that it's even considered an exception. And then we would say that Rabbi Eliezer is coming to say, no, Chodosh ain't a Noeg Ela Ba'aretz. No, Chodosh actually only applies in Eretz Yisrael. The Moshe of L'Acha Yerusha V'Yeshiva Mashma, because the word Moshe B'Chol Moshvei Seichem means only after you settle, only after you inherit and settle Eretz Yisrael, only after those 14 years. Or my Af Akamaisa. And then, so what is Rabbi Eliezer saying? Af Chodosh. His Af is referring back to the part before Chutzman or the Kalayim. Like this, the first way we explain Rabbi Eliezer, which is the straightforward understanding of the Mishnah, is the Tanakhama says Chutzmina Olam Akalayim, and Rabbi Eliezer says, wait, I have a third exception, Chodosh. This, that was the way that we're explaining it now, is the other way. The Tanakhama is saying that any mitzvah tluy ba'aretz is only in Eretz Yisrael. Any mitzvah shein tluy ba'aretz is not in Chutz La'aretz, which would include Chodosh. That Chodosh, according to the Tanakhama, would apply in Chutz La'aretz as well. And Rabbi Eliezer comes and says on that, Afa Chodosh. No, Chodosh actually does not. Also, Chodosh is an exception, is not an exception. Also, Chodosh is considered a mitzvah, and only applies in Eretz Yisrael. So what is it? How do we understand Rabbi Eliezer? Well, first we'll talk about
it. In two ways.
Yeah. Now it seems more straightforward to understand it the first way. What makes the Gemara even want to think that it's the other way around? A couple of different ways. To say that he means Vakula, that he means to say that Chodosh does not apply outside of Israel. A couple of different reasons that Mepharshim give. One is because there's a Stam Mishnah in Masechta Orla that says that Chodosh applies everywhere in the world. If we were to say Rabbi Eliezer is the one who holds that, it would mean that Stam Mishnah is only according to Rabbi Eliezer. We don't like to do that. We don't like to say that a Stam Mishnah goes according to only one Tana. So we would prefer to say that the Tanakama of our Mishnah is the same as the Tanakama of that one, and they agree that Chodosh applies outside of Israel. Okay, and Rabbi Eliezer is arguing and saying that does not. Anyway. Otherwise, you'd have the Tanakama here is saying one thing, the Stam Mishnah over there is saying something else, and usually, usually the Halacha is like a Stam Mishnah. But second of all, a Stam Mishnah, we don't want to assume that it's like only one Tana unless we're forced to.
Why does he wait until the
Pashtus, you could say, because you could say that the Tanakhama said his whole statement together, and only then Rabbi Eliezer interjected and said Apa Chadosh. But he meant to refer to the previous part. We can prove because Abaya said, Man Tana de Poligaled Rabbi Eliezer, which Tana is it that disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer? That is Rabbi Shmuel. The Tanya, as we learn in the Braisa. Now, the Gemara is not quoting the beginning of this Braisa over here. The Gemara on the Beis will give us the full context. Rashi gives it to us over here. In Parshat Shlach, the Torah tells us that when you come to the land where you're going to settle, and then if you bring a korban, if you bring an oil or a shlomim, you have to bring minchas nesachim with it. You have to bring a mixture of flour and oil as a mincha, and wine as a nesach. And it gives the amounts for the different types of animals. Now, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel argue on this in Zvachim primarily. Also, we had a little bit about it in Chagiga. What is the what happened over here? Is it that we know when Kabbanis Tzibur were brought in the Mishkan, like for example the Miluim, of course they brought in a Sachem with them. The Torah tells us so in Parshas Tzav. What about if an individual person brought a carbon during those 40 years in the desert? Or after that, during the 14 years when they were busy conquering and settling, now it's Israel, when the Mishkan was temporarily set up in Gilgal. During all those years, if an individual brought a korban, did he have to bring the Nesachim? So, Nesachim, there's the flour and the wine and the oil, Rabbi Shmuel holds that no. Rabbi Shmuel holds what the Pasuk is telling us is that this whole concept only applies after Yerusha v'Yeshiva. So therefore, in the Midbar, no Nesachim for an individual Tarban. In the 14 years in Gilgal also, after Kisavoyu, when you came into Eretz Yisrael, El Eretz Moshvei Seichem, to the land where you're going to settle, meaning only when you're settled in there, only then do you start bringing Nesachim.
After 14 years?
So after 54 years, 53, 54 years after this mitzvah was given. Because this mitzvah was given right after the Chet HaMeraglim. Rashi says that actually was meant to cheer them up. You will eventually get into Eretz Yisrael. So that 39 more years in the Midbar, that 14 years conquering and dividing out Israel, after those 53 years from when the mitzvah was given, then individuals started bringing the stuff. And that's Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva holds, and therefore, also Rabbi Shmuel says from that, what the Pasuk also therefore is telling us is that the Pasuk is therefore also telling us, we have to also, in order to understand this, we have to understand that there were different stages in Jewish history as far as when you were allowed to have private mizbechas, private bamos, they were called, to bring korbanos. The history in a nutshell is like this. Before Matan Torah, you could bring korbanos anywhere you wanted. Matan Torah, okay, the Mishkan actually, from when the Mishkan was built, for the next 40 years in the desert, you were also to bring korbanos anywhere except the Mishkan. Next, they come into Eretz Yisrael, they're 14 years conquering and dividing up the land. The Mishkan is temporarily in Gilgal. During that time, they can build bamos and bring korbanos wherever they want. Then they set up the Mishkan in Shiloh. From then, for the next 369 years, bamos are also. Shiloh was destroyed. They moved the Mishkan temporarily to Noiv and eventually to Givon.
They're
the Plishtim. They're the ones that captured the Arad, and then they destroyed Shiloh. From then, for the next 57 years, the Mishkan was, 13 years in Nov and 44 years in Givon. During that time, again, Bamos were allowed. Basically, the reason is because the Aron wasn't together with the rest of the Mishkan. During the 14 years in Gilgal, they took the Aron with them whenever they were campaigning. And during the 57 years of Nov and Givon, the Aron was in was by the Plishtim and then Kiryas Yearim and then by Obed Edom Agiti, whatever. Anyway, so 14 years after they came into Eretz Yisrael and 57 years after Shiloh was destroyed, Bamos were allowed. During those times, the Mishkan wasn't called the Mishkan; it was called the Bama Gdola, the big Bama. And there were differences. There were certain differences. There were certain karbonos that couldn't be brought on private bamos. Even during those times, it could only be brought by the Bama Gdola. Korban Pesach is one of them. Afterwards, eventually, the Bais Hamikdash was built. From then on, bamos became also anywhere. Not to say, I mean, throughout the first Bais Hamikdash, we find over and over the Nevi'im are criticizing the Jewish people that they're still bringing karbonos on bamos, but it was also to do that. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel is saying, as part of his shita, that he says, since I'm assuming the word Moshe Seichem, that's when you settle in Eretz Yisrael, that the word Moshe Seichem means you only bring the Sochim after you've conquered and settled Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, after the 14 years, if Rabbi Shmuel is saying that, then he says necessarily that can't mean the Torah does not have to be telling us then that you don't bring the Sochem on a private Bama. Because anyway, first of all, at that point private Bamas became also when they set up the Mishkan and Shiloh. Even after they became Mutter again, what the Pasuk is implying is it only applies in the one central Bama that's for the whole Jewish people, namely the Mishkan in Shiloh, which was not actually a full-fledged Mishkan, later on in Nov, later on in Givon. So that, according to the Bishmol, there was never a time when the Pasuk does not have to be telling us that you don't do Nesachim on a Bamas Yachin, on a private Bama. Because we knew that already, basically. Now, Rabbi Akiva learns completely differently, as we'll see. Rabbi Akiva learns that actually they did bring the Sochim for private Korbanos and Midbar. They continued to do that during all the years in Gilgal and Shiloh and Nov and Givon. And therefore the Pasuk is telling us, according to Rabbi Akiva, that you... This Pasuk has to tell us that you don't bring them ever on private Bamas. Even when private Bamas are Mutter, you don't bring the Sochem on them. You always bring them only on the Bama Gdola. Okay. So the Tanya, so the end of that Braisa says, Lamdacha, so this comes to teach you, Shkol Mokom, Shenever, Bei Moshe, of any place where the Torah says about a certain mitzvah that it applies, B'chol Moshe V'tzeichem, the words to that effect, Eina Elav Acha Yerusha V'yeshiva, Divir Rabbi Shmuel. Then it only applies after they conquered and settled and divided up out Israel, after the 14 years. Divir Rabbi Shmuel. Now we see this. So, okay. Amalei Rabbi Akiva. So then Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Shmuel, why? Hare Shabbos should never bring a Shabbos. What about Shabbos? The Torah says that Shabbos applies it. The Rashi brings the pasuk like Tavaru Esh B'chol Moshe V'tzeichem. Tosfos argues that that's not the pasuk that Gemara is referring to on various grounds. Tosfos says rather it's that's not the pasuk the Gemara is referring to for one thing, because the Gemara uses in a different place in the Sefer Shabbos. The Gemara darshens something else from that word B'chol Moshe V'tzeichem.
It
darshens that you're not allowed to make a fire on Shabbos in Moshe V'seichem in your own private houses, but you're allowed to in the Bais Mikdash.
But these houses over there.
So therefore Tosfos says that rather we're talking that for that and another reason Tosfos says that rather we're talking about a pasuk from Parshas Emor when it starts describing all the Yom Tovim, it starts off with Shabbos and it says Shabbos Yil Hashem B'chol Moshe V'seichem. So they also have the word Moshe in connection with it. So Shabbos, it says Moshe Shabbos, but Neheg is Ben Ba'aretz Ben Mechutz La'aretz, and it applies everywhere in the world. So you can't say Moshe V'seichem means only in Eretz Yisrael. Amalei, so Rabbi Shmuel answers him, the difference is Shabbos Kavachomer Asya. The Shabbos you could learn with a Kavachomer that it applies everywhere. Ma mitzvahs kalos noegas Ben Ba'aretz Ben Mechutz La'aretz, madach, even more lenient mitzvahs apply both in and out of Eretz Yisrael. Shabbos Chamiru Lekosh, again, how much more so Shabbos would be stringent. So yes, Moshe V'seichem, there, even if you were to argue that Moshe V'seichem means only Eretz Yisrael, but by a Kavachomer you could learn that it applies everywhere else. But you can't, because it's so chomer.
Kavachomer being what exactly?
The Kavachomer is that these other mitzvahs that are much more lenient apply everywhere in the world, how much more so Shabbos?
If Shabbos applies everywhere?
If other mitzvahs apply everywhere, how much more so Shabbos?
Okay.
So now, mid omer Abaye mantan and the polygale of Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Shmuel. So since Abaye is saying that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Eliezer disagree, and what is Rabbi Shmuel saying in this braisa that we just quoted? He's saying that the word meshvesecha means only after kibush v'chiluk, only after you divide it up, only after you divide it up out to Israel and everybody settled in their own plot. Necessarily, then Rabbi Eliezer must be disagreeing with that. Therefore, necessarily, Rabbi Eliezer must be saying, if he's saying about Chodosh, whereby Chodosh uses the word Meshvesechem, it must mean that he argues with Rabbi Shmuel and says Meshvesechem means wherever you live, wherever it is in the world, similar to what Rabbi Akiva is saying. Therefore, it means that he's going Lachomer, that he says that it does apply everywhere. Shmamin Asat proves it.
That he goes with Chumrah, that
he's arguing with Chumrah, that the Tanakhama is trying to say that Chodesh does not apply outside of Israel, and Rabbi Eliezer is arguing and saying it does. Okay.
That's
it. Yeah. Okay, now let's go back to Rabbi Shmuel. Mechti Rabbi Shmuel Ahechakai. Now let's consider, what mitzvah is Rabbi Shmuel talking about when he mentions this thing about wherever it says Moshav, that it means that it means only after they conquered and settled. He's talking about the mitzvah of Nesachim. This mitzvah to bring Nesachim along with Korban. Well, the Nesachim bio Moshav Kfidvul. By Nesachim, it doesn't just say the word Moshav Seichem. It says Kisavoyu Aleret Moshav Seichem. He uses a double lashon. Number one, Kisavoyu, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, and then he uses the word Moshav Seichem. So you could argue that only, in other words, you have three possibilities, right? You can have, or four really, you can have a mitzvah where it doesn't say either one. You can have where it says only kisavayu, where you can have a mitzvah where it only says kisavayu, or one where it only says b'chol meshvesechem, or where it says both. Nesachim, yeah, well, that's plus a possibility where it doesn't say either one. Yes. Nesachim, it says both. To argue that only the Sochim apply after Yerusha V'Yeshiva. How do you know to say that where it says only Moshav, that where it says only Moshav Sechem, that should apply outside of Yerusha, that should apply only after Yerusha V'Yeshiva? So how he says that? He's arguing with Rabbi Yehuda, yeah. Okay, the answer is Hachakama. Yes, that's what Rabbi Shmuel means, actually. L'lamad shekol mokim shenemam bio Moshav ein ela achi Yerusha V'Yeshiva de Rabbi Shmuel. You're right, you have to fix up what Rabbi Shmuel said a little bit. Not that he says just that it says Moshav, but that it says bia in Moshav. Wherever it says those two terms together, kisavayu, alayus mesh v'seichem, the words to that effect, then it means it applies only after the 14 years of Kibush V'chilim.
Not like we
assumed before, it was only Moshav, now we're saying it's actually Bia and Moshav. If that's the case, what do you mean? The Braisa continued, Omelay Rabbi Akiva, had a Shabbos, she never went to Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva says to him, what about Shabbos? It says Moshav is by there. But Omelay Shabbos Kavachomer. He and Rabbi Shmuel answers him back, that's different. Shabbos, you can learn with a Kavachomer. Where does he need that? Namely, I'm not Bia or Moshav Kamina. Rabbi Shmuel has a better answer. I'm not talking about only the word Moshav, only the word B'chol Meshvetechem. I'm talking about where the Torah says Kisavoyu and Meshvetechem. By Shabbos, it never says Kisavoyu. So what are you asking me Shabbos is a contradiction, is a counterexample to my argument? You haven't heard my whole argument. I says, you're right. Chodavoyu Kamalei. You're right. Rabbi Shmuel, what we have in the Braita is actually a secondary answer that Rabbi Shmuel is giving to Rabbi Akiva. Number one, Rabbi Shmuel would answer Rabbi Akiva, I'm talking about where the Torah uses both expressions, Bia and Moshav, so you can't shlug me up from a pasuk about Shabbos that only mentions Moshav. Besides that, even if you're going to argue that it's only Moshav, and you're arguing Shabbos, it says Moshav, Shabbos Kavachomer. You could say Shabbos is different, you can learn it with a Kavachomer that should apply everywhere in the world. Well, all the mitzvahs that are not fluid is barat. That's the thing. We started out saying in the Gemara, we started by thinking that maybe mitzvahs are fluid is barat means any mitzvah where the Torah says kisavoyu. Right. We're sort of still using that. We're sort of still saying that if the Torah tells us kisavoyu and Moshav Seichem according to Rabbi Shmuel, it means that it applies only in Eretz Yisrael, and not only in Eretz Yisrael, but only after Kibush V'Chiluk, only after the 14 years. Yeah. But my commissioner giving what it says. So okay, what is the underlying machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva? Meaning, Rashi and Tosfos both say that Rabbi Shmuel's shita we understand. Rabbi Shmuel's shita we can understand. Since the Torah starts off by saying, Kisa boyu, when you come, and then it uses the word Moshavos, which means you settled in Eretz Yisrael, then yeah, it makes sense to say that it means not only in Eretz Yisrael, but after Kibbush V'chilut. Where is Rabbi Akiva getting his opinion that, where is Rabbi Akiva getting his opinion that where it says Moshav can be a mitzvah that applies everywhere in the world? The answer is, B'kivu Nesachim
HaMitzvah,
as opposed to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel's opinion we can understand fairly well. But yeah. Also, that's the thing. Rashi explained before, the part of the basis of Rabbi Shmuel's understanding, where does he get the idea that Moshavos necessarily have to mean in Eretz Yisrael after the conquest and the settlement? He says, because since the Torah starts off by saying, the Torah, in, again, we're talking about the parasha of Nesachim over there. The Torah uses the word lochem in there. Asher ani noitim lochem. The word lochem for you, plural, Rabbi Shmuel understands that to mean that the mitzvah is talking about only of the kind of bama, the kind of mizbeach that is collective to the Jewish people. Meaning, in other words, Rabbi Shmuel. So that's the thing. That forces Rabbi Shmuel to say that you. Now, necessarily, you only have a bummer in one place. It's only in one place at a time. First in Gilgal, then later on in Nov, then later on in Gibeon. So Moshvesechem cannot mean anywhere you live in Eretz Yisrael, because the word Lochem forbids that. The word Lochem specifically has to mean one central bummer. Necessarily, therefore, the Pasuk cannot be telling us that Moshvesechem has to mean after you settled Eretz Yisrael. And what's the point of it then? Don't think that the Nesachim apply during the 54 years before that, the 40 years in the Midbar, and the 14 years of the conquest. No, it only started applying once they conquered and settled Eretz Yisrael, and everybody was in their own plot. And from then on, yes, it continues regardless whether what you have at the time is a full-fledged Mishkan or Beth Mikdash, or whether you have in between a Bama Gdola and private Bamas are allowed.
In 50 years, what happened? They were moving from...
Which the original 54 years is 40 years in the Midbar and 14 years in Gilgal, where they're busy 7 years they're busy conquering Eretz Yisrael and 7 years they're busy dividing it up. Rabbi Shmuel is saying that during all that time, the Nesachim were not being brought yet by private people. That is only after Kisa. Again, he learns like this: Kisa Vayu means when you come into Eretz Yisrael. El Eretz Moshve Seichem. You could argue could mean that it applies anywhere you live in Eretz Yisrael, or it could apply to one central place. But since the pasuk continues, Asher ani noitzen lochem, so he says the word lochem forces us to say that it means one central place. But necessarily, Moshe Mitzrayim has to mean, it can't mean everywhere else, otherwise you have a contradiction in the pasuk. So it must mean that it only applies to the one central place that exists after you conquer and settle Eretz Yisrael. No, which is Shiloh, and then Noiv, and then Givon, and then Yerushalayim. So even though Shiloh and Yerushalayim, on the one hand, private bombers are Osir, and no even given their mutter, in all of those, though, the pasuk is telling us that Nesachim only apply on the public bomber or Mizbeach, whatever you want, as the case may be.
Lachem means one there in.
Lachem means to you collectively. Yeah.
And everyone.
Yeah. So the underlying machlokas, therefore, is that Rabbi Shmuel, so the Kirvu Nesachim Amidbukam Mifugi, the underlying machlokas, did the Yidden bring Nesachim when they were in the desert or not? Rabbi Shmuel Sava like Kirvu Nesachim Amidbukam. Rabbi Shmuel says that private people did not bring Nesachim in the desert during the 40 years in the desert. Therefore, you don't have a basis for saying, so therefore, Rabbi Shmuel can say, they didn't bring it in the Midbar, they also, therefore, didn't, the Pasuk is also telling us, therefore, they didn't bring it the first 14 years in Eretz Yisrael.
Recently,
that's Rabbi Shmuel. When the Pasuk first introduces the concept of Nesachim for private people in Parshat Shlach, after the Chet HaMeraglim, and it starts off by saying, he's the voyeur of Eretz Canaan. So Rabbi Shmuel says that's exactly what it means. Only when you come into Eretz Yisrael, and only Moshe Seichem, only when you settled in Eretz Yisrael, each person in their own plot of land, then Lochem, then Asher Nimoisim Lochem, then in any central Mizbeach Obama is where Nesachim are brought. Never on private ones, and never before that, even on the central one. Where's Rabbi Akiva learned? Rabbi Akiva saw a kibbutz Nesachim Amidbar. Whereas Rabbi Akiva holds that no, and once the din of that the rabbin brought Nesachim in the Midbar, and that for sure we know they did, because the Miluim, for example, had Nesachim, then Rabbi Akiva says individuals also started bringing Nesachim at that point. Therefore, before, you don't need a pasuk to tell us that you bring the tzachim on the bum of Gdolah, because sure, if you bring them already on the Mishkan, on the Mizbeach, on the Mishkan, no reason why you would stop at some later date. Rather, what the pasuk is telling us, no, so actually I said it a little wrong before, but Rabbi Akiva says that, no, what the pasuk is telling us, that during the various times when Bavos Yochid are allowed, the 14 years when they were conquering and settling, and the Mishkan was in Gilgal, and the 57 years when it was in Noiv and Givon, during those times when you're allowed to have private Mizbechas, private Bavos, you also bring the Sachim Amen. So he's arguing against Rabbi Shmuel in two things, in other words. Number one, Rabbi Shmuel is saying there were no private Nesachim in the Midbar, and Rabbi Akiva is saying there were. And number two, Rabbi Shmuel is saying there's no private Nesachim on a private Bama, even during the times when those were allowed. And Rabbi Akiva says there were. Because that's how he's learning the Pasuk. He's saying Kivu Nesachim in the Midbar, that once Nesachim started being brought by the Tzibur, they were also brought by the Yechidim. Therefore, necessarily, that forces you to understand the Pasuk differently. There's, by the way, a Maimer where the Rebbe talks about the deeper idea behind Rabbi Shmuel's opinion that there were no Nesachim in the Midbar. The idea of a korban is you're taking the korban and raising it up in the fire. So it's going to be milamachal amayla. You're bringing it up from below to above. Nesachim is the other way around. You take the water to the surface, wine normally, and you're pouring it from the top down, and it goes all the way down into the tahoim, into the depths under the earth. So therefore, that represents the idea of hamshacha milamayla lamata. It was poured on the mizbeach, but it went down through the holes over there, through the two cups over there on the mizbeach, down into the drainage channel, way deep below the mizbeach. The Gemara tells us in Sukkah that they went all the way down to the depths, to the toilet. Famous thing about when David was digging the shit in, and the famous story in Sukkah over there about when David was digging the shit in, and the water was about to overflood the world.
Evan Ashtia,
something else. No, this is the shit in. Anyway, the point is a korban is halal milmata l'mayla. Nesachim is hamshacha milmata l'mayla. Normally, you need to have both. In the Midbar, though, they weren't living in that mode yet. They were still living completely in the mode of milmata l'mayla. Everything is, you know, it's all one-dimensional thing. They're in the Midbar over there. They're not yet doing the avodah of bringing ruchnius into the world yet. That way, that had to wait till they come into Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, Rabbi Shmuel says no nesachim.
Spiritual.
Yeah, well, that's he says that halacha, but yeah. Omer Abaye, Hai Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, Matik Meidach Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel. Now this Tana that we said from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, who explained that that when the Torah says Bia and Moshe by mitzvah, it means it applies only in Eretz Yisrael and only after the 14 years, that Tana disagrees with another Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel. In other words, there were two Talmidim of Rabbi Shmuel who had different understandings of what their Rebbe had said. The Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, because we have another Braita from the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, that says, Hoyo v'nemer bias b'Torah stam. Now, there's many mitzvahs that the Torah starts off, Kisavoy, etc. Uparat machal kosav v'echad man lacha Yerusha v'yeshiva. By one of them, the Torah spells out that it only applies after you conquer and after you settle out Israel, meaning after the 14 years. Namely, by Melech. The Torah says, Kisava yala aretz, v'yirishta v'yashavtava, you inherit out Israel and you settle in it, then you should appoint a king. So there the Torah spells it out. Therefore, afkol l'acha yirusha v'yashiva. Therefore, we can do a binyan out from that. Anywhere else where the Torah starts off a mitzvah with Kisava or Kisavayu, then also it applies only after yirusha v'yashiva, but not before that. Okay, so we have two different opinions within Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel. One is that only when it says Bia and Moshev is that true, but if it said only Bia, it would mean it starts applying right away. And the other one says even Bia by itself means it only applies after the 14 years. The Idach, so what would the first Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel say to that? He would answer, Mishum to have a Melech, Bikurim, Shnei Ksuvam, Boim, Kerechad, because it's not just by Melech, you have another mitzvah, by Bikurim, where the Torah also says Yerishta V'yashav Tavah. So now you have two Pesukim that are teaching us the same din. The same principle. And as we said the other day, when you have two psukim that teach us the same thing, you can't learn from them to anything else. So the first Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel would say just Bia by itself is not enough. When it says Bia and Yerusha V'yeshiva, the two cases, Bikurim and appointing a king, then Taka it only applies after the 14 years. Or if it says Bia and Meshavos. But if it only says Bia, then it would be right away. the idach, and the second time the Beit HaRishmol would answer tzrichi. He would say that no, you can't call that shnei ksuvah v'yom ka'achad because each of them we need. The Torah could not have told us by one of them, and we would be able to derive the other one from it. Why? The ikas rachman melech for the kasa bikurim, because the Torah had only written the words v'yirishta v'yashavtaba by a king and not by bikurim. Have amina, then you would think bikurim becomes hani la'alter. After all, bikurim, you're starting to enjoy the produce right away. Why shouldn't you bring bikurim right away? So therefore, the Torah would have to spell out that no, only after you have your own farm. The ikas bikurim v'leikasa melech. Conversely, if the Torah had only written it by bikurim and not by a king, have amina melech darke l'kabish la'alter, you would argue, no, king, you can't wait until after your yishev ha'shatzba. I mean, you need a king to lead you in war. Isn't that the whole point of a king, you'd say? So therefore, the Torah would have to spell it out. Actually, the Pnei Yeshua says that's the point. That's exactly why the Torah says the Yerushalayim V'Yashavtaba. The Torah wants you to know, don't think that you need a king like all the Goyim do to lead you in war. You need a king in peacetime to tell you the right thing to do. To lead you in war, you have the Eved to help you.
Yeshua,
but he's not considered a king. He's not totally considered a king, Halacha. He's not, yeah.
He's a general,
fine. That's not the same thing. He goes on and says, actually, the Gemara in Sanhedrin that discusses when they did ask for a king in the times of Shmuel, were they asking the right way or the wrong way? The Gemara mentioned the machlokas on it. Shmuel didn't like it, but the Gemara, on the other hand, you have a mitzvah, simol ha'melech. So the Gemara mentions over there some possibilities. One is that everybody asked shaloi kahogan improperly. The other possibility is maybe the zkenim asked for the proper reasons, and the na'arim asked for the wrong reasons. The Na'arim wanted a king who should lead us in war. And the Zkenim were asking, let's have a king in order to fulfill the mitzvah. So he says, that depends on this Gemara over here also.
Let us be like the other nations.
Fine, but that would be the Na'arim. That would be like the Na'arim saying that, yeah. So that also depends on this. If we're saying that the point of a king is you don't need him for war, you don't need him for your Rishta V'Yashatubah, then it's wrong to ask for a king in that way. So you could argue then that you need the words v'yirishta v'yashavtaba individually by both melech and bikurim. Therefore, you can't call it shnei ksuvah v'yom ka'achad. V'idach. And now going back to the first tanit v'ei Rishmol, he would answer to that. It still is shnei ksuvah v'yom ka'achad. He would argue because nichti rachmanah melech v'leiboy bikurim. The Torah could have only written it by melech. It did not have to write it by bikurim. V'anah amina, and we would figure logically. Uman melech de lechabish, madach a king who you would think the primary purpose of a king is to conquer, and that only takes place after Yerusha v'yeshiva. You still wait until after Yerusha v'yeshiva. Bikurim lekoshkin. How much more so bikurim that you should wait till after Yerusha v'yeshiva? So Tosfos says over here, obviously then the Gemara must be going back from its earlier Svara. Before a couple of lines earlier, the Gemara figured to say that bikurim, you're having hanah from the soil right away, therefore it's logical to bring it first. Now the Gemara is sort of undoing that. But maybe not. After all, the melech, on the face of it, is more important. One thing that Atlas Yosef points out, the logic the Gemara might be using over here is, a king is more of honor. A king is saving your life in battle. Bikurim is what? You're enjoying some nice fruit. You would think, obviously, you know, if a king, yet the Torah is telling you, wait till after Yerusha v'Yeshiva, how much more so when it comes to Bikurim? V'idach, and again, the second Tanit Rav Shmuel would answer to that. No, because of Hachi, he would say that, no, if the Torah had only told us by melech, and you're going to try to learn Bikurim from it, then he would say, no, actually, Bikurim do apply right away, because it's no different than Chala. Everybody agrees that Chala applies right away as they come into Eretz Yisrael, because the Torah, even though it says when you come in, the Torah uses a different form of the word for coming in than everywhere else in the Torah. Usually the expression is kisavoy, kisavoyu, v'hayaki v'yacha, whatever. Here you have one case where it says b'voyachem, when you come in. So everybody agrees that means as soon as they came into Eretz Yisrael, the first time anybody made a batch of dough, they're already chayv and chala. So you would argue then that bikurim is the same thing. You need the pasuk to tell us that no. Tosfos, by the way, has an interesting discussion about based on the famous thing, one of the kriyas that we have during Pesach is the story. From the Pesach that they made the second year in the Midbar, and then the people who were Tomei and complained, and then Lama Nigora, and they wound up getting Pesach Sheni. We lane it. Rashi says that it was delayed. It's not put at the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar, of Sefer Bamidbar, of Chumash Bamidbar, because to gnai to the Jewish people, Hayitachon, they only made one Pesach during all the 40 years in the desert, that one. And actually, that's one of the reasons also why we delay it and lane it as late as possible in Pesach. We lane it on the sixth day of Pesach. Yes. Well, no, the point is Rashi says chronologically it comes before the census. The Bamidbar begins with the census. That took place in Iyar. This is a Nisan. But why? Fine. Ain Muktama, but you have to have a reason why. Rashi says the reason is because this is a Gnai.
But they didn't do it for 14,
once. Okay. That's what Tosfos is discussing over here. No, they did it the 1 year in Mitzrayim, obviously, but that was before they even left Mitzrayim. Then in the Midbar they did the 1 year after the Mishkan was built, and that's it. They didn't do any more Pesachs during the Midbar. So Taka why? So Tosfos discusses it a little bit over here. Number one, the Torah does mention V'hayaki V'yacha in connection with Pesach. So they figured, okay, in that case it only applies after they come into Eretz Yisrael. Also, Tosfos says there's other reasons as well. The fact is, the pasuk says they were Arelim. Most of them didn't have a Brit Mila. We learned in Yevamos they weren't able to because the north wind wasn't blowing. Okay, so why is it called a Gnai then? Tosfos says two reasons. Number one, it's a Gnai. They wound up spending that long in the Midbar anyway. The fact that they had to spend 40 years in the Midbar itself was a Gnai for them. It was because of the Chetam Araglim. And that the north wind stopped blowing. Okay, but still they should have. That's what it says. The gnus is that if it hadn't been for the Meraglim, they would have come into Eretz Yisrael right away, and they would have been able to have a Pesach every year like this. It was a gnai to them that they wound up spending so long there that v'hayaki v'yacha could not be applied for another 38 years.